You know, as a guy who took Spanish for 3 years, I didn't retain much of any of it. I have to, and 3 years is a long time, especially when you're a child, and that's when you learn the most things really well, but I didn't retain a lot. It's hard just learning it in school or through textbooks. Well, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop, or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. They are a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. I started Rosetta Stone and my Spanish skills have definitely improved. I can now say muchas gracias. It's really a better way of learning a language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Comedy Bang Bang listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comedy. That's rosettastone.com/comedy. This episode of Comedy Bang Bang is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There are two wolves inside you. Stop eating wolves. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Curious. Thank you to Fee Philo Fum for that catchphrase submission. And welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another week and special second week of October edition. It only comes around once a year, and we are so glad it's here now. Exciting show. By the way, my name is Scott Aukerman. That's not part of the exciting show. The exciting part of the show is our guests. Coming up a little later, we have an author. We also have a professor. So people who are used to words and instructing people with words and using harnessing words much better than I'm doing right now. So that'll be coming up a little later on the show. But before then, guys, celebs are back. Celebs are back on the show. We had a rough couple of years. We had some Zoom years where celebs were like, yeah, if I don't have to leave my house, yeah, sure, I'll do your stupid show. I won't record myself properly. I won't buy a nice mic, and you'll be stuck with shitty audio. So we had some celebs on the show for a little while, but then there was just a fallow period where no one wanted to come to my backyard. And now celebs are back, baby, and they are here in the studio with us right now. One in particular, you know him. He's our old friend. You know him from such shows as Worst Week. You know him from movies like She's Out of My League. You know him from probably other stuff, but the rest of his resume, I won't get into it here, but he has two incredible projects of importance coming out this week. Season 2 of Avenue 5 on Sunday, and a new show called High School coming out at the tail end of this week. We're so excited to talk to him. He, of course, is Pat Dantrick, I believe, in Sports Circumference from the Comedy Bang Bang television show. Please welcome back our friend Kyle Bornheimer. Aww, hello, Kyle.
Thanks. By the way, those two credits are the only ones I remember, too.
Really struggling.
No, and I do.
And
I
you're
do
in everything,
thing.
But I cannot remember. Like,
no, those are the only ones I remember filming, shooting, seeing, or that anyone liked.
Westworld. Yeah.
Westworld.
I just saw you in Westworld.
Mm-hmm, a pop-up in Westworld.
Uh-huh. Are you brutally murdered, or?
I can't say, but I'm a douchebag.
When you can't say, this is season one, by the way, so it's not like there are spoilers.
It was also the first episode of season one. There's someone out there that I don't want to ruin it for them. No, I don't think I get, oh wait, you know what I do? I think I do get, no, I slaughter someone in it.
I kill robots, right?
I kill little Jimmy Marsden in that.
When you leave a set, is it just pretty much like washing your hands of it, going like, I'm never going to remember any of this anymore?
Do you give a shit? I just have a horrible memory in general, and I feel sad about it. Like there's people that I go to someone's house and they have photos from like their adventures on set and like selfies.
#set life.
Yeah, #set life. I gotta honor that more. As I get older, I'm worried that I don't have any memories.
Well, you know, when you're an actor like yourself who does like, you know, pops up on one episode of something instead of doing a lot of episodes of one thing.
Yeah. It would be weird. Yes. I think it was a day player, essentially, an under five guy. it would be weird if I honored it too much. They're like, Kyle, you came in and
we don't even remember your own show. Why do you? No, but of course, we love you on so many of our shows. And I've talked about this on previous episodes about how I always had a fondness for you, especially on Worst Week. And I was like, I like that guy. And then I forget how you got on this show, but I remember I was like, I like that guy. I want him on the show. And here you are.
It's my fourth time, 34th time.
I know, so you're a regular at this point. Yeah. Very funny guy. Let's talk about some of these prodgies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because this is like your week.
I just got back from the Toronto Film Fest with one of them, which is a TV show at a film fest,
which I've never done before.
2022 is crazy.
This doesn't make any sense. Wow. So that has to be Avenue 5, right?
No, that one was high school. Yeah. Avenue 5, they're really pushing that out in the film festival.
Season 2. No, high school, obviously. And I am excited about this show. I want to talk to you, but I want to drill down on it.
Yeah,
because first of all, it's on something called Freevee.
Yeah, so Freevee.
Kyle, you got to help me out here.
The ad should be, what the fuck is Freevee? Freevee is Amazon's new ads. Whenever I say this, I feel like I am like saying the exact thing I was told to say. Freevee is Amazon's new ad-supported service.
Also, like, you're doing a commercial for them, and you should be getting paid for that.
Yeah.
Like, you should... This Don't shouldn't I? Be your job. You know yeah. what? No, I mean, you get paid to do the show and you should be like, oh, yeah, it's on, you know, something we've heard of.
Any of this
it's on Netflix.
I'm not
or
even
whatever.
Sure I got paid to do the show, to be honest with you.
But instead, they're giving their advertising budget. They're keeping it and then making you explain Freevee to everyone.
Yes. And you're participating in this sham, Scott, by having me on this podcast.
Shit.
And I refuse to go to your backyard for it.
So let's not even talk about Freevee.
No, let's not. No.
Because that should be that's Amazon's
Until
job.
Until I'm sure of my deal and if it includes. Free advertisement. I'm not going to mention blank.
Mention Freevee. That's
you can mention it.
Yeah. Okay. That's the most we'll do.
I'll pause whenever I'm about to say it, and you please just say it.
If you don't know what Freevee is, that's Amazon's fault, not ours.
Right. But I think this podcast. Or mine. So that is their new like free service. And actually, there's a great show on it right now. Just launched at Sprung Show is on there, which is Greg Garcia's new show about
the Sir Mix-a-Lot song.
The movie based on the song. It's a TV version of the famous movie. It's based on Tegan and Sarah's childhood
show
in the 90s. High school.
Yes.
Yeah, Sprung.
High School is based upon my beloved Tegan and Sarah, mm-hmm. guests on the Comedy Bang Bang television show. They did the Alfred Hitchcock episode. They're delights. Oh. They also guested on Take My Wife, which I produced. Great people, great musicians. They wrote a book together?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that possible? Did they write every other word?
Every other chapter, and they did it from each – they didn't check in with each other. So Tegan didn't know what Sarah was writing, and Sarah didn't know what Tegan was writing chapter to chapter.
Until when? At what point did they –
They still haven't. And they will.
Really?
Yeah.
And they will not.
Yeah. They're trying to mind meld it. They're really like, well, I should just know it, shouldn't I? I'm your twin. It's about their high school experience, which was a combination of them discovering music, finding their sexuality, getting heavily into substances and
like what are we talking? Crack cocaine?
Yeah, it's all about the crack cocaine epidemic of Calgary in 1998. And really kind of finding themselves. And it's a neat, very sweet, tender story, and set in the 90s. So the music is, I mean, if you're a nerd like us that loves, there's just a lot of fuzzy, just that one.
They're like, well, they blew the budget on that song. Yeah, no, so it plays over and over.
Weirdly, a lot of 90s grunge fans, but they weren't real deep divers. They didn't know anyone just like beyond.
The most popular song. So you play, if my information is correct, you play the father of twins.
Yeah, I'm the father of twins. Technically, their stepdad. I guess not technically, but
So you're
actually their stepdad.
Your sperm was not involved in the creation of these.
The first episode is all about explains that how babies are made.
Well, let me show you how sperm is made first.
It's a really neat opening, sort of like the beginning of A Tree of Life, that just shows all that, and then it just hard cut to two teenagers in the 90s. But it was So
are you a good stepdad?
I'm a good
stepdad,
and people always. It's so funny that the assumption with the step parent is that they're an evil step situation.
I mean, you've played a murderer, a robot murderer on Westworld, so you can play either side.
Yeah,
so.
I can play robot murderers or good stepdads.
But a guy like me, I don't want to see you being a bad stepdad to Tegan and Sarah. No, I don't want that.
I didn't want it either. And once and then the two girls that play them that they found on TikTok who had never acted before or played instruments, who not only had
this
to
sounds like a bad plan. They're horrible in the show. Okay, well, and we were like, next time let's get people who can act and who can play music.
It was a real leap they took, and
it did not work out.
That's what a gamble's for. Rayleigh and Susan Gilliland, who play Tegan and Sarah, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of Tegan and Sarah in high school. I would have been so intimidated. We grew up around the same time and in similar, like they grew up in small, Calgary is not small. I grew up in like a small town in Indiana, but discovering all that 90s indie rock and trying to deep dive after I really got into it. And you were cooler if you liked the bands that nobody else knew about. And it was that era of that.
Bands like Pearl Jam.
And
Soundgarden.
And Stone Temple Pilots. I don't know why saying it like that makes it sound more exotic. So I was in love with that era. I couldn't have asked for like a better world to jump into. And
Earth.
Yeah, better Earth. Yeah.
Sure. Because it's better. It's tough. When you do stuff like The Martian, you got to wear that spacesuit the whole time.
You got to wear in a different world.
Apollo 13? It's like, come on, guys.
I wanted to stay. I said, if it's on Earth and it's set in the 90s, I'll do it. And so. Those are my things. But I will not do free advertising for you.
No.
Blank, blank.
And by the way, Westworld does fall under that because it's set on Earth, but set in the 1890s.
Yes.
So they got you on a technicality there.
By the way, I love the music of 1890s, too.
Those are your two eras.
My Darling Clementine is one of the real staples of
player
my,
pianos. Yeah.
But yes, so I don't know what the question was, but I love the show. Yeah.
So how many eps are we talking?
We're talking about an 8-ep situation.
About eight.
I think they're dumping. Is that the word? Dumping? They're dropping two or three to.
I don't think dumping is bad.
No, yeah, dump would be bad. They're exalting. They're launching, I think, three episodes on October 14th, I believe.
Sounds like three episodes on October 14th.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you say it. listen, I told you, they don't pay me for the advertisement.
So three episodes and then weekly,
I think, after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you finish an eighth episode, are you ever like, you turn to everyone on set and you go like, let's just go to 9.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have the power to do that. Apparently they would have needed a script and a bunch of other stuff. I didn't know how it worked. I was like, guys, let's just keep going. Let's do not get some ideas.
We got a good thing going on here. Let's
what else happened in the 90s? Let's do something with the real world.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Oh, no, that was the 80s. Shit.
No, they'll fix it.
They'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Gorbachev tore down something else.
Gorbachev
called
me. Gorbachev, we lost Gorbachev a few months ago now.
Terrible day. Terrible day.
Yeah.
Although I hear he's with the Queen's double on nudist beaches. Mm-hmm. This is a reference to an earlier episode.
Can we cut to that clip?
Yeah, no. Here we go. So high school is the title of it. And do they use their music to score scenes, or are they playing songs?
Well, the really neat thing is there's a combination of again, a very good combination of known 90s songs, some real deep dive, deep cut 90s songs. I actually teared up just at the music because it's a very It was very nostalgic for me.
From what I understand, music soothes the savage breast.
It's the it's the food of life. What's the thing? It's the
food to the soul.
Food to the soul. Yeah, it's the elixir of love. I don't know how that works. I don't. But it worked for this show. They were smart to add music in this show about musicians.
Usually, I thought that was a good choice. When I watch a show, it's just dead silence, and you hear every footstep.
Yeah. And that's how they started. They did a cut like that, and it didn't work. And Tegan and Sarah were like,
we're musicians. Yeah. We could add some stuff here.
But it's a slow burn to their discovery of that in themselves. They didn't figure it out about themselves. So it's a neat little thing. The girls, actually, actresses learn kind of as Tegan and Sarah did, as they sort of pick up guitars and learn. So Tegan and Sarah's music is sort of slowly
integrated
into it. Then you get this great mix of the more popular, you know, Smashing Pumpkins songs. There's a really great, Tegan and Sarah did a great version of Today plays in the trailer. That's really sweet. And then
favorite version of that is the Smashing Pumpkins version.
Yes. Yeah. They did a good job with that. Yeah. I hope they gave credit to the original. It's a really wonderful. It's half hour. It looks beautiful. It looks. It kind of reminds me of 90s independent films.
Wow.
It sort of draws on.
Is it? How did you? Are you offer only, or did you audition?
I met
because I know someone who auditioned.
Let's talk about.
But it sounds like a waste of his time if they just offer it to you.
I went through a rigorous, and it was a very competitive audition process. I was very honored with all the people that I got to audition along with. No, I think they gave it to me very early, and then they had a lot of people audition for months and months after that.
This happened to my other friend. He auditions for Geppetto in that Pinocchio movie that just came out about a month ago on Disney Plus, and then he like goes, "Oh, I wonder who got this part." Tom Hanks.
You must have been talking with a pretty high level friend of yours. I don't think they went wide with the Geppetto role.
No, they did. So it just doesn't make any sense. But this is incredible. High School is out this week. Now let's pivot and talk about Avenue 5. There's a name I haven't heard in nigh upon 3 years.
We were COVID shutdown. We were COVID delayed. Yeah.
This is an HBO comedy. Created by Armando Iannucci. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, the guy behind Veep and In the Loop and Death of Stalin.
And it's all about in my opinion, it should be called Wacky Spaceship. That's a better name for it. Because Avenue 5, it's like, what even is that? But Wacky Spaceship.
Adventure Space Time.
Tell us about that, because you got incredible people in the cast.
I mean, that's Hugh Laurie and Zach Woods and Jessica St. Clair. And
you do a lot of your scenes with this person named Jessica St. Clair.
You know Jessica.
Fans of the show have never heard her. We have this person named Marissa Wampler on.
Yo, that's right.
A few
Marissa
times,
Wampler.
Jess has never been on the show.
Right. And but Marissa and Jessica would really love each other.
Yeah, same they're energy. Very similar.
Yeah.
Almost to where they're exactly the same person.
And you've never seen them in the same room.
1% louder.
And that would be Jessica.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And Jessica and I are very loud in this show. We are the assholes on the imagine being stuck on a spaceship that gets lost in space for 9 or 10 months, and there's a couple that's always bickering and at each other's throats. And
because you guys were getting divorced, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the first season, we were like planning our divorce because we were about to land the next day, and we were so sick of each other. And then we discover we're going to be stuck in space together for 6 months. And but in season two, there's a little twist on that, which is
I bet you guys fall back in love. Sex scenes. Yeah.
There is a sex scene of sorts, but it's not
just
not
a full on euphoria type drugs and sex scene with Jessica St. Clair. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. That's so, yeah, this would be the centerpiece of their ad campaign.
Yes. So, Avenue 5, I mean, you got to catch up on it if you didn't watch the first season.
Yeah, you can get it on HBO. I guess it's just HBO Max now.
They haven't taken it down. All the other ones are HBO Max.
You know what? Actually, who knows? By the time
this point
posts, you know, HBO might not even be a thing. So you might just have to go to I'll send you, you know, some of the dailies that I got.
Thanks. Oh, that would
be great. Might be the only option at some point.
Appreciate that. Avenue 5, and it comes out this Sunday, another 10 eps. You ever be on set and like the last, you do episode 10, you're like, let's just do 11.
You know, that's a great question. I suggested that. I'm trying to remember my previous bit.
Well, Kyle, this is your week, buddy. This is, it's all going to happen. So excited for you
this week.
I am thrilled for you to see the work that you put into your craft and to watch it pay dividends this week. This is exciting for me as a fan.
Well, thank you. And if it doesn't pay dividends, it's
that's true.
Back to India.
Yeah, if both of these shows are canceled within the next month, yeah. Back
Which
to
given my track record, you know, yeah. could very well be the case.
Back to just shooting robots for one episode and dipping out. Well, this is great. Kyle Bornheimer is here, and we need to take a break if that excites you. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't, we're still going to do it. But when we come back, we have a professor is going to be here. Did you ever go to school?
I am a dropout.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Me and professors have a strained relationship.
Yeah. Did you say mean professors or just me and professors?
Me and professors.
Yeah. It's tough.
Mean professors would be interesting to me. Like
mean professors. This is your next show.
Mean professors.
You've heard of bad moms.
Yeah. Mean professors. And it's just them being kind of cranky and like, you know, not like listening to you after class.
And then apologizing afterwards and going like, I'm sorry.
It's a network show that needs a happy ending. Yeah, very blue sky.
We're going to come right back. We have a professor and a little later an author. We'll have more from Kyle Bornheimer. More comedy Bang Bang. We'll be right back after this. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, what if I just said tough luck and then ended it? No, I actually have the perfect gift and I stand by this one 100%. I've talked about it. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. How many photos do you think you've taken in your life? Four? More? Well, it's unlimited how many photos you can share on this thing. And I believe me, I've tested it out. It is super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. And that's what I did. I gave these to all of my loved ones. And we put photos of our new baby into the frame, and they love it. My mom would rather watch the Aura frame than TV. She just sits there like watching the new photos come up. She loves it. I love them. I think it's one of the greatest inventions to ever be invented. Thank goodness whoever did it, I couldn't. Mr. Aura, if you're out there, we love you. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is A-U-R-A Frames, AuraFrames.com. Use code BANGBANG at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something. You do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template, and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang. to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Kyle Bornheimer, our old friend, with his fourth appearance here. You're a member of the Four Timers Club.
Who else is in that? Actually, a lot of people. You got a lot of
a lot of people. Yeah.
It's not that big of a...
Andrew Lloyd Webber, certainly. Werner Herzog.
Castro.
Castro, Fidel Castro, certainly.
I was trying to think of like people that would be on... what's his name?
Put that mic right at your mouth. What do you say? I know you're drinking something, but you have it pointed to your chest.
People like a lot of noises, a lot of mouth noises, and plastic hitting plastic on
and
the mic.
And then hearing people talk like this above the mic. Uh-huh.
I don't know how anything
it tilts,
in Hollywood works.
You know. You don't have to bend down to it.
One of my least... now I'm so self-conscious, I don't know. It's like my first day in Hollywood. Which is how every voiceover audition is for me. I forget how to act every time a microphone is in front of me.
Yeah, it's daunting though. You know what I mean? Anytime you get to a new set, if you've never done the show before, it's like, uh-oh, am I going to get fired? Do you still feel that way?
Sure.
Or are you like, I'm going to slip him the old Bornheimer?
Yeah, I think each one's different, but for the most part, I'm pretty sure. It's usually after that I'm convinced I won't get work again.
Right.
When I've gotten it, I know that they're too busy to fire me at least the first day. And they, you know.
Yeah, I'm usually after I leave, I'm like, well, they're cutting that out.
Yeah. I get a lot of, well, that'll do after a take. Like, we have to move on.
I did a recent project, which is coming out around the end of the month, I believe, the Weird Al movie. And
I'm very excited about that.
And I got two takes and I was like, is that because I was bad or because I was good?
Yeah.
I'm convinced because it was bad and they gave up.
Yeah, I think that's where our minds always go. I think there's about three actors that are like, got it on the second one. Should we move on? And it's like, Seagal, like Steven Seagal's that way, but that's out of pure laziness. Yeah.
Well, this is incredible. Two shows out this week, four times on this show, two shows in a week, a lot of math, but I'm wrapping my head around it. Avenue 5 as well. So many numbers.
Yeah.
So many numbers.
High school has 4 years in it.
Yeah.
You're a math guy, aren't you? You like numbers and puzzles, or you like... I've noticed a thread on this show whenever numbers are involved, you sort of perk up and you get excited.
Oh, that's the only time I ever get excited on the show.
Everything else is like a real drag for you. You're really...
Although, I will say we're in our 14th year, so every episode I'm like, ooh, 14th year. Yeah. So I do get excited every episode.
And it's an even number. I'm sure this is like a great year.
Yeah, this is such a good year. We have to get to our next guest. I hope they are having a great year themselves. They are a professor of what? I do not know. I do not have this information in front of me, but all I have to do is ask once I introduce them. Please welcome to the show Lloyd Garterbelt.
Greetings, kind sir. Greetings, kind sir. Shake my hand like a gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Ah, yes, a firm grip. I see you know your judo well.
I'm firm. You have the limpest handshake that I've ever...
I am giving full muscle from forearm on this grip, my good man.
Let me check those
this
out.
This is limp to you?
This is limp to me.
This is as strong as one can go.
This is as limp as the very biscuit of upon Fred Durst. I don't even know how to finish this.
Are you
on which
saying?
Fred Durst sang upon? I don't know. I
like
two
a
upon.
Chump, hey?
How are you? Lloyd Garner.
I'm very well, and shake Kyle. My hand, my good man.
Oh, get ready for it.
Yes, very good.
That is a little off-putting.
No, and a very strong handshake from Kyle. Very good.
Where are you
I have a
from?
Weak one myself.
What audience? What audience are you?
Oh, it depends.
You ever say a word and it just is like, doesn't have any relationship to the word you meant? Freebie.
A crossing of thine wires in no brain. Was
certainly.
That what
do you
there?
Think I meant? What? Nationality?
How recently...
Do I consider other countries to be just audiences?
Ah, yes.
Because I've done so many tours.
Which audience are you? Which tour would I have seen you on?
Yes,
for the
exactly.
Great Scott
Where are
Aukerman?
You from?
I have traveled from this great world to and fro, near and far, that I don't call nowhere home no more, Scott Aukerman.
It's interesting because you have sort of like an English accent, but then you're doing things like doing double negatives like a common person, but you have more of a lofty accent. It's interesting.
It's a breadth of all my experiences at one, for I have had to move from place to place due to academia.
Sounded like Sean Connery right then. Interesting.
Well, if consistency is what you're looking for with me, good man, consistency you will not get.
I see.
This is my voice, and it will...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, people just have the voices they have. Sometimes they sound like something, and then sometimes they sound like nothing. Does that make sense?
Today, you and I are vibing. I understand everything you're saying.
Hard.
Even if you're not understanding it as a student of humanity.
We also have been microdosing this entire time. So yes, that's not been helping.
To the extent that we are definitely macrodosing.
We're just dosing at this point, but dosing. Any more microdoses, we may be macrodosing.
We'll be getting a cease and desist on that one, won't we?
I'm sorry, I haven't offered you any. Do you want any of our LSD?
I did some before we came, but it was so micro that I'm not even sure.
Have a full
I don't
dose,
know how micro to go when I micro.
I know, that's the problem, yeah.
You can always go bigger, but you can never go back, my good man. So you select that based on smallness, and if you're not feeling too high or too energetic, please take some more of my
LSD. I guess I will take
LSD.
A little bit more.
Turn on, tune in, drop out.
This is a good lesson for life. You can always have more of something, but you can never have less. So it's like when you're eating, for instance, it's like order the small portions. I tell you, I went to a restaurant the other night and they came up to the table and they said, "Have you ever been here before?" Which you know that they're about to describe small plates to you.
Yeah.
Right. So that happened. They did. And they go like, "We encourage sharing at our restaurant," which is like, "Oh, you encourage us." And they go, "About four plates for two people is about right." And it's like, "Oh, okay. So you want us to spend more money than normal." Okay, got it. So they're like, "We encourage a bunch of stuff. We ordered four things. And on the fourth thing, the person said, 'That's a very small portion.'" And my point is like, well, then make it a regular size portion. Don't offer it if it's a small, you know what I mean? You're the one who told me to order four things.
100%. I encourage the chef to make a goddamn bigger plate because I've come here just to eat a meal.
That's
a succulent Chinese meal.
And by the way, it was a perfect size of a portion.
So it was a lie.
If you were going to order three other things.
For three, I see. Yeah. Well, I'll say it right now. That restaurant is... It is democracy manifest. It is our country is going down the toilet, and this is yet another example, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I guess so. Kyle, what do you
mean? I wasn't going to go there. I was just thinking that their particular restaurant model was, you know, maybe wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I was just talking about a restaurant. I didn't connect it to democracy necessarily.
And this is the issue. This podcast in itself is comedy manifest, and this is why I'm here, Scott Aukerman.
Why are you
are pointless.
who are you?
I am Lloyd Gardevelt.
Oh, I know, but that doesn't explain who you are.
I have arrived here because our culture is in the proverbial toilet, Scott Aukerman. And everything from media to restaurateurs are responsible. And it's making teachers and professors like me have trouble doing their jobs. And I'm frequently being fired because children no longer understand the world in which we live.
I see. Where do you profess? Where do you teach?
I am currently between professions. but I was recently fired from Washington University in St. Louis for...
Washington University in St. Louis.
Are you not familiar?
I guess I'm not familiar. Why don't they call it St. Louis University?
Because that's in Washington.
They did a swap?
They did a swap. They did a holiday.
Oh, I get
two
it.
Universities needed to find themselves and fell in love with the new world in which they found themselves. And a world where... Much like how we fell in love with Cameron Diaz as an editor.
Yes. I've never seen this.
Cameron Diaz.
She plays an editor?
She's an editor of film trailers.
Of film trailers.
One of the more relatable jobs for audiences.
Do you think she was ever editing the film trailers and like the director walks in and goes, "Oh, you should just be in these movies because you are beautiful and you're like an actress."
That is what we all imagined the deleted scenes of that film were, and perhaps why she had to leave Los Angeles.
Oh, is that... I don't know about this film. She leaves.
She goes to England to find herself after a breakup and some British.
Wait, someone breaks up with her? You would think that guy would like wander into the room about to break up and then look at her and go, "Oh no, you look like Cameron Diaz. Like we should still stay together."
Again, a deleted scene I imagined was somebody saying,
"This is why movies don't make any sense," right? Because they always cast these beautiful people in them and then they give them problems.
This is Hollywood manifest, Scott. Aukerman, and I hate to say it in front of a seasoned actor who's benefited so well from the Hollywood system, looking wonderful, sounding wonderful, but uggos like myself no longer have a place in the American states of United America.
You are very ugly. I meant to mention that when you...
You meant to mention that?
Yeah. When I introduced you. It wasn't on your bio, but I was just like, I was struck by it.
Of course it's not on my bio that I am ugly. You do not describe your looks upon your bio because you should be judged.
People should.
No, you should be judged for your heart and your thought. What would they have done with...
What other reason are there authors' pictures on the back of book jackets for than to see if they're ugly or not?
That's so you look at the author's picture on the jacket and then you read...
And then I decide whether to buy the book.
Do you ever buy an ugly author's book to see if their writing is inevitable?
See, that's the only books I buy.
Really?
The
you think
authors.
They'd be really good at it?
Yeah.
Because every other book, it's like, you know what? They're too busy having sex to write this
book. I look for bad fashion or ugly. Yeah. And then I know that I'm probably getting for a good read.
Yeah. Lloyd, why are you here?
Because, Scott Aukerman, I am here to stop you in your tracks with what you're doing here.
Done?
All right. This podcast is done.
No, I'm not stopping doing the podcast. Is that what you mean?
You must. You must. Because men like me, the literati, the educated, the professors of this world are being pushed out by the generations listening to TikTok and listening to podcasts.
Why were you fired?
Well, plenty of reasons. Intellectualism.
I don't like to hear that. Usually it's just one. So when a guy says plenty of reasons, it's like, you have a problem.
Discrimination is one. I've been discriminated against for my wit, for wanting to teach things that the young woke literati are not willing to read, for describing female students' outfits to the whole class. Millions of things that you used to be able to do, but young 18-year-olds won't allow it anymore because they need their bubble of safety, Scott Aukerman.
Well, that's the thing. We always want our teachers to be older than the students, right? It would be weird if it was the other way around, right? So just using, like, okay, that's true. If that is true, then these older teachers are going to be of a different mindset and have different sort of values, and we should be accepting of that, right? Otherwise, every single teacher is going to be younger than the people that they're teaching.
And now you're speaking my language, Scott Aukerman. If you want your teacher to be so in touch with the current society and aware of media, they must be younger. But would you...
Although, in a society where you go to school... Okay, kids, you're a kid. You go to school. Half of your day is spent teaching kids who are older than you.
Uh-huh.
And the other half is kids that are younger than you teaching you. This is not, I mean, this kind of makes sense as a society.
It's almost like a kibbutz school of some sort. It's
I don't know what that word is.
A kibbutz, a co-op of sorts, a commune in Israel started with the idea of an Edenic society as an escape from the horrors of Adolf Hitler.
I see. I don't know that we had to bring him into this necessarily.
Well, it's a direct line from Hitler to Israel.
Any thoughts on Hitler?
I'm interested where this is going. I mean, Professor Orley, you seem to be wise about some things. You just described the origins of the kibbutz.
Very well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm incredibly wise, and yet my wiseness is not respected because we're limited to one, two, or three things we've said that have made students uncomfortable.
Can you give us examples?
Let's see. For example, I've painted myself into a situation here. Now
seems to me like you're the
and
one
Scott
who was fired.
It right up.
I was fired for a multitude of reasons. Number one, professors should be allowed to insult anybody who, based on their hair color. For example, we know blondes are dumb. So if you're describing something and a student says something not so wise and they're blonde, you should be able to say, no surprise there. But in this woke world, democracy manifest, we are forced to
You started
to
the
never
Sean Connery thing again.
It's just my voice. It's like...
Right, yeah.
As if I heard your voice and thought you were doing an impression of somebody who sounds like you.
Again, something that I would have thought of before the show.
Who do you get voice alike about by
voice alike?
Yeah. Who do people say you sound like?
I don't know. That's a good question. I get a lot of people on Twitter, and this is my favorite thing about Twitter, who send you a picture of the ugliest person alive and then say, is this you? Really love that.
What about when they draw you? and say, hey, I did art of you. And
what do they like, accentuate?
Oh, did you forget my chin? Oh, you really noticed my beard.
We're both of the things that you have, by the way.
Yes, I have a no chin and a big beard, and I've been described by you as ugly, but by many as fascinating.
As looking. Yourself as well. You said that you were ugly.
That's right, which is what makes me a good author, is because I'm never having sex, I'm thinking.
Right.
Because nobody will make love to me. And if you say that in a college campus, you will be fired in 2022, Scott Aukerman.
I mean, this is... look, Kyle, you have children, right?
Yes.
You don't want your children's teachers to be talking about hooking up with people or the absence of...
Depending on the their age. I mean, you mentioned earlier that the children these days, is it just college that you've taught? I mean, when you're between jobs, have you had to go to to high schools or anywhere else?
All ages. Wonderful question. I've taught preschoolers American history, and I've taught high schoolers blocks and shapes. I bet your children, your Hollywood children, go to some sort of Montessori school.
Yes, no, they're in a pod with just three other like-minded families. We really like to try to keep it. But although we might be losing our teacher soon, so
no, I'm so sorry.
I'm kind of intrigued.
I accept your offer, my good man. Let's negotiate right now, money-wise. I'd like to be tenured.
Immediately tenured. Yes. Oh, wow. That can transfer right to, I don't know how that stuff works, but sure.
Wonderful. And let's say $35,000 a year and...
not a lot.
$35,000 a year. I bet between the five of us, we might be able to scrape that together.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
that's
far less than our other person.
That's so less. Oh, my God.
I don't think he understands.
7,000, that's like, you know, if you just consult on a sitcom, that's like 1 week's salary.
What sitcoms are paying you $7,000 to consult on? I'll do that as well. Is there any sitcoms of professors?
Oh, yeah, you should just do that.
I think we have a sitcom here brewing up. Exactly. You teaching a pod of kids in Hollywood might be a sitcom on its own.
A misunderstood racist. And
oh, is that how you're describing yourself?
Are we in the pitch meeting?
It's how I've been described. Yes, you have to break it down in the pitch meeting. Mm. Teaches a group of young children or any other, and I hate Hollywood, and I hate the celebrity culture, but are there any other big name parents?
Sean Connery's grandkids are actually in the pod.
Grandkids.
Yeah, speaking of Sean Connery and Dick Cavett's grand. It's all grand. It's my kids and then a bunch of old Hollywood grandkids. I don't know how that ended up that way.
Well, I would be happy to teach the royal grandchildren. Sir Sean Connery has been knighted, correct?
Yes.
Does that transfer down to his grandkids?
I think so.
I think they're
right. Dupes, he just passed. He dies, right? It just passes right down.
Wow, and are they bonds as well?
Yeah, that never goes away as well.
I would be happy to join your pod, but you have to agree with me. No rules, just right.
We can start it off that way, and I'll see where you go. I mean, maybe there'll be some lively debate. They can, that might be what's going on here. If the kids are going back to college, if they are offering you alternative points of view to yours, why are you worried about engaging with those?
I am happy to engage with alternative points of view, but I should be allowed to speak my mind freely in a debate with a child, an adult, or anybody at all, even if it's getting drinks with them after class or whatever.
What kind of debates are we talking? Like, should we role play one of these debates and see exactly like what the types of things you say are?
I would love to role play. I have dipped my toes into the art of
You've taught
acting.
Improv? What level?
Well, basic level improv stuff, mostly short form.
Oh, yeah.
And games within that world.
Yeah, so basically, like, anytime anyone, you do freeze tag, anytime anyone's near someone's butt, freeze!
I see you know your improv.
I know improv. Yeah.
Yes, very good, Scott.
Okay, so say Kyle is one of your students.
Very well.
What age do you want to be? Go.
Let's go back to college. I'll be interested. Great. Yeah, that's where this whole.
So you're
thing
a started. College student of mine at one of my former schools.
Do you
University
have a name? Or
I'm Leon.
Leon.
Yeah.
All right. And are you Leon? Are you Leon Phelps, the Tim Meadows character?
Are you the professional?
I'm Leon. I'm a French. I'm a French American named Leon.
All right. Okay. And you're a student.
The son
of
an assassin.
And you are the son of an assassin.
Son of an assassin. Oh, he's a legacy.
Yeah.
More milk, Leon.
Or milk leaf? What? In what situation are you offering?
Well, thank you very much. My dad loved milk before any of his kills, so I really appreciate that, Professor Garterbelt.
And wonderful. Thank you for getting a drink with me at the 29 Cafe down the street from the university.
Yeah, this is great. A lot of my buddies and I come here and we post our TikTok videos and do Molly.
Oh, horseshit. I don't believe in that quick fire media. I watch the films of Godard and I read the novels of Shakespeare.
Oh, you know, Godard just died not too long ago.
Yes.
Yeah, we took a class with him. He was before my time, but like, yeah, he's not bad.
Oh, yes. All you kids these days, everything in black and white, I cannot watch, blah, blah, blah.
No, we were pretty okay with it.
You're an idiot. And you're not educated, and you need to learn. Now, that woman sitting next to you in class, what was her name?
Oh, yeah, it's Stephanie.
What's her story?
I don't know her too well. I mean, we've talked a little bit. I try to, you know, respect her space. She's really serious about studies, so I don't really figure that's the time to talk her up too much.
Oh, you got to flirt.
I don't know if that's
the right place to flirt. You've got to flirt in class. That's the point of college. Sow thine oats, my good man.
I think she's there to learn. And afterwards, I mean, she's very funny afterwards. We've exchanged some thoughts. Maybe at some point when the time is right, I might
talk. Yes, we love a woman with a sense of humor, us men.
Well, I don't know if all men do. I certainly do.
Let's close this tab out. We're about two blocks away from a strip club. You and me, poke our heads in, and let's chat history.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, sex workers is a positive thing. And if it's the type of club where they're, you know, they're unionized and the women are kind of calling the shots there, I'd be open to that. Maybe we could bring a couple of my friends that are fluid and are interested in that. Then we could maybe do that.
Oh, and a huge eye roll to that whole sentence. I'll go alone, and I'm going to a different club called Star Gardens in North Hollywood, and they will not allow the strippers to unionize there, and that is where I support.
That's your thing, man. You enjoy yourself.
Okay, so this, you turned to me like the scene was over.
No, I'm still going.
I do want to interject here.
Freeze.
Because first, you're right by my ass. Yeah.
This is great.
Okay, look, first of all, Kyle, what an incredible scathing portrait of a woke college student.
I know, didn't I? I really went after
you took him down a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great job. As for you, Professor Garterbelt.
Yes.
You didn't really do that much that was bad or fireable. You called him an idiot, which I think you probably still could do it as a professor. You asked him to go to a strip club, which is probably still fine. I mean, people, you know, I don't know. Like, you got fired for that?
Well, I was.
And
doing
you encouraged him to flirt almost like you were a Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah, it was kind
of guy.
It was another like romantic comedy. We just came up with another show.
Yeah.
And I have been vindicated on the air of Comedy Bang Bang, and I feel that perhaps...
Wait a minute, no, I just agreed with you. Can I get canceled for this?
Absolutely you can. It is easy to cancel a man like you or I, Scott Aukerman, a man of the past who is just trying to find our way through the modern ages.
I'm a man of the present, maybe, but...
You were not a man of the present I gave you when I arrived.
What? You gave me a present?
I gave you a lovely present when I walked in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Threw it right in the trash.
Well, I mean, it was like an envelope from your car that you wanted me to throw in the trash, you said.
A gift. And it was a test, Scott. You were supposed to look upon the envelope and see if it was something you wanted to throw away or to receive from.
Wait, Garterbelt, can I tell you something?
I would love to hear it.
I am not quite getting your whole thing.
All right, let's take a moment.
It's not strong, I have to say.
Let's take a moment, then.
let's break it down.
All
okay,
right.
You're a professor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
Yes.
All right, but you come in here and you say you've been fired recently, and then you can't remember why you were fired, and it takes you a minute to come up with stuff. And
certainly.
Then we role play, like, what would be, you know, and I'm expecting some really harsh things for you to do.
Right.
And it's kind of weak and tepid.
It's tepid. Well,
yeah.
I suppose I have done some things that I didn't, that I painted myself into a corner. Mm. That I was like, oh, you know what? The type of person I am is hard to parody this day and age without almost, saying yeah, bad things.
Almost as if, like, to parody him, you came up with a voice and that was it.
Well, not quite, not quite. You know, the idea I had here, with and the idea is who I am.
Sure, now, yeah, but the idea of what you were going to talk about on the show.
Yes, the idea of what I was what going we're to talk about was, yeah. Well, you know, the idea that a man like me, a man...
Wait, who, this is a good idea.
Yes.
But then no specifics.
Yes, the specific. Yes, that's what's missing, Scott Aukerman. Yes. I will have to agree with you on that one.
Okay, usually I don't critique the guests specific, in the middle of the segment. But
I take it as a compliment that you feel comfortable enough.
I do feel very comfortable critiquing
about
and
this.
I feel like it's warranted.
And I feel, and here's how I feel. I'll come right back on, perhaps even the next
Maybe
episode.
Next week, sure. Hey, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre would.
Well, let's just chill to the next episode.
Yes, of course. Well, look, Lloyd, Garterbelt, we're going to take a break. If you can use any of that time while we do to come up with anything, that would be great. If not, no harm, no foul.
I'll talk more, but have less to say.
Okay, I think we have a deal. When we come back, we have an author. This is very exciting. We're gonna come back. We have more Lloyd Garterbelt, more Kyle Bornheimer. We have, and both of those things are very hard to say if you're me. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Kyle Bornheimer, Avenue 5. Take that over to the high school. This is the way you advertise two shows, right? Time together like this, you know? That way you get the fans of both. They're watching both shows. Suddenly double ratings.
Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah. Huh? Anyway, but Avenue 5 this Sunday, high school this Friday or Thursday, one of those two.
14.
Once you figure out what freebie is, the rest
it'll be all over everywhere.
The world opens up.
You won't
to
be
you.
Able to miss it.
We also have Lloyd Garterbelt. Lloyd, you do any thinking over the break?
Shoot.
Or did you just sit there staring into space?
Well, it's a beautiful space you have here, Scott Aukerman.
All right. Well, let's get to our next guest. They're an author. So this is exciting because I love the written word. Even words said aloud. I like those too. But so words in general, I like them. And they use the written word to their advantage. I'll tell you that much, obviously, because they're an author. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Matilda Graveyman.
Hello, Scott. It's so nice to finally meet you.
Oh, when would we have met before?
Oh, I've never met you formally, but I wrote your unauthorized biography, and I was wondering if you could sign it.
Wait, you wrote my unauthorized biography?
Well, you didn't respond to my emails, but also I didn't know your email.
Yeah, where were you emailing?
Scott at Aukerman dot...
Pretty close, actually. Unfortunately for me.
Rats, so close.
Yeah, too close. Wait, so you wrote a biography of me? Why is anyone
slams
interested?
It down on desk. Look at it.
Are you providing your own sound effects?
Yeah, it's a very light book, I wanted to make sure you make
an impact with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why so light, by the way? I've had an interesting enough light.
I know. A lot, but I don't know much.
Okay. What's the book called? I can't see it from across the table.
I Did It My Way, The Life and Times of Skip Anchorman. There's a bit of a typo on the front cover.
Bit of a typo, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
I Did It My Way. That's like a Frank Sinatra of like,
I knew it sounded familiar. Ah, rats. Dang it.
Yeah, I mean, usually, like, the title of a book has something to do with the career of the person. Like, Billy Joel, for instance, like, he would be vacillating between My Life and Piano Man. He'd be like, I don't know what the right title is.
I wrote his unauthorized biography as well.
What'd you call that?
I Did It My Way, The Lifetime of
So
Bits
you're the I
Jones.
Did It My Way person, basically. Yeah. So... This is like that mystery author who does A is for whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been writing biographies for about 60 years. I'm not slowing down anytime soon.
How old of a woman are you, if you don't mind me asking?
How dare you? I'll say I'm in my early to late 80s.
Okay, so anywhere from 80 to 89?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, welcome to the show. I mean, you may be the oldest guest we've ever had.
Oh, well, thank
Santa
you.
Claus.
But, oh, my goodness.
They're a mythical creature.
I wrote his unauthorized biography as well.
That whole bit about seeing you when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You wrote that?
I wrote that, but the full title is Seeing You When You're Sleeping. I Did It My Way.
Oh, right. So what's in the book about me?
Well, it opens, obviously, at the beginning of your life, a full moon in Arkansas, a farm. In 1943, Scott Aukerman was born.
Okay, none of these things are correct. Maybe the full moon. I wasn't clocking that at the time, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, most of my research comes from reading over your shoulder at coffee shops when you open a computer. And it's hard to see at my age, but I did the best I could.
You've been reading over my shoulder at coffee shops?
Yes. Oh, sort of when you're like on your phone or you're typing away at a manuscript, I just sort of...
That's where I'm composing my tweets.
I know, and I just keep some of those in your drafts. And that's just me.
So you're not just a biographer, you're a critic of my tweets.
Yeah, well, of course.
Okay.
We all are.
What? So who gave you the contract to sign to do this? Contract, sign. Who signed? Who? Where sign? You sign.
I'm sorry. What now? I'm here. Don't ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Okay.
I've written probably around 6,000 biographies at this point. I have not asked for anyone's permission, not once.
Okay. So, and who else have you written?
Mike Dukakis, Diane Keaton, John Adams, the list. Goes on and on.
Yeah, I'm sure it does with those three at the top. It's all downhill from there.
Really, we have to unpack why I panic said those three names. that's for
another
day.
Out of the 6,000, yeah.
I know.
But, all right, well, let's read some of this book. What's in this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to flip around and then talk about some of my favorite bits. Oh, I love this chapter. This is when
Which chapter is this?
Chapter 8.
8, okay. Yes. And this is what?
When you move to New York City and you are pounding the pavement with resume in hand, tap shoes in the other hand, and you were in the original cast of Damn Yankees.
I can see it all in front of me.
Oh, it's how do you do? Wow, strong handshake.
Yeah, why were you sitting in the shadows before now and not talking?
Oh, I'm Batman. That's my thing now. No. I am darkness. I am the night.
No, he's been on the show already.
Right. I'll be back.
Sound kind of like a vampire guy, too.
Oh, that's my thing. I can't go out. That's why.
It is second week of October.
Oh, yes, my favorite of the months.
Okay, you can't just pivot into vampire to save a failing talk show appearance.
I'll be back.
All right. So what happens in this chapter? None of this is ringing a bell, by the way.
Really? You don't remember trying to make it as a big star in New York
City?
Just
read it, though.
Okay. A full moon in New York City in the 1960s. Scott Aukerman in a rat-infested...
I was not alive at this point.
Oh.
Also, your prose style was a little to be desired, but go ahead.
Yeah, does it sort of sound like narration at the beginning of a bad play?
I guess it's not even full sentences.
I'm sorry, my eyesight's also not great, so I can't really read it.
Oh, okay.
Luckily, there's an optometrist in the room.
A vampire optometrist. I love it.
Don't get too close when you're reading.
So is he working on people's eyes in order to bite their necks?
Yes. That's,
I don't know.
Uh-oh, Scott.
I don't know. This has legs.
Gosh. All right, I'll be back.
All right. And then you met Dean Martin, Patti LuPone. Huge
By the way, you're reading right now, and you said, and you met. Is this book directed at me? Am I the reader?
Well, I was hoping you would. I mean, it would hurt my feelings something awful if you didn't at least crack it open, Skip Ankerman.
It's not even my name. I'm sorry, but none of this happened to me.
What do you mean?
I never moved to New York. Yes, I own tap shoes, but I kept them here in the sweet California, the Golden State.
You weren't pounding the pavement trying to become a star?
Sure I was, but only here in California.
Well, chapters 7 through 14 are useless now. Rips them out. A book.
Those are light pages. Thank you for doing the sound effect. So you've only gotten your information from reading over my shoulder?
Yes. Also just dreams.
Dreams.
Talking to people who know you, interviewing people in your life. Well, the people in this room, of course.
You talked to...
Well, that was like right before you came on. I did notice you were scribbling. I thought you were signing the book. Were you writing another chapter?
Yeah, look. Yeah, you're the last chapter. Congratulations.
Oh, wow. I'm in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind reading from that, Kyle?
Yeah.
What did you say about me?
I didn't say anything about you. I just introduced myself.
So really? In the book?
So it says here, Kale Sugar Hams.
Sugar Hams?
Yeah. Nailed it on the first try.
Yeah. I mean, that might be just her
Did Mel Gibson name you?
And it just says... then it goes into my biography.
Oh.
It says on a
full moon. Is that what you were telling them?
In Czechoslovakia, right before the Soviets came. I guess it really paints me as a kind of a war child.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, you did it your way.
Yes, that's what it says here. It says title ideas, but it just has one. He did it his way, but put it in the I form. Or I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Okay, so the back of my book is just scribbling musings on what his book is going to be about.
I didn't have another piece of paper.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Okay, how many copies of this book did you make?
Well, there's at least like 400.
400?
But some of the chapters are out. I had to print them myself, and my hands hurt, and my grandchildren hate me, so I had no help.
Let's talk about that. Why do your grandchildren
hate you? See, I've spent my life focusing on other people, so I didn't.
I know, but you sound like such an interesting person, a person whose grandchildren hates them. I mean, that's a story. Right
well,
there.
Whose grandchildren don't hate them?
Almost everyone.
Really?
Good relationship. Yeah.
Well, I have a couple chapters about your relationship with your grandparents.
What did you say?
Well, you lived with them, and then your grandmother taught you to play baseball in the full moon.
Full moon? What? No one's playing baseball in the full moon.
Yeah, the full moon. The whole chapter about the baseball.
I mean, there are night games.
And then your grandpa turned into a ghost and became...
I don't know why I'm looking at you to co-sign on this.
Don't look at the vampire.
You're
look at me.
You're basically useless.
I love baseball.
I want a little bit of help from you. I get nothing.
I can't wait to write your biography. Someone who started as a professor and then pivoted really hard in the latter part of their life to vampire
optometrist. This is the latter part of his life?
Well, I assume.
Hey, what's going to happen to him?
Oh, that's also one thing. I know when someone's going to die. That's how I can put it in their biography. Uh-huh.
So did you know about Ken Starr a few weeks back?
Yep.
Oh, my God. We guessed it was going to happen.
Do you know that famous death that happened on October 3rd? 7 days ago.
Yes, it's you.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, how did this happen?
Oh, fuck.
He died a few days ago?
Yes.
I'm a ghost. That's why I couldn't remember my thing. When you move into the afterlife.
You're moving on mentally.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay, my ghost thing is...
What's your twist on a classic ghost?
I love big old ghost tits.
Jesus. Your kids are going to love this episode, I gotta say.
I can already... Yeah, he's like cracking up right now.
You know, Scott, while I have you, I just want... I need to, like, some help filling in the blanks of some
stuff.
Sure.
First of all, you don't have me. You're on my show.
Oh.
Go ahead.
No, okay. Well, then why are we in my house? Is this not my house?
This is not your house. No, this is the Earwolf studio.
Rats! Dang it. All right. Yeah.
Quite sure how you even got here, but go ahead.
Well, me neither. It's anyone's guess.
Sure.
You've been married 8 times, yes?
Absolutely. I've been married once for what seems like 8 times.
Oh, right. Because you're the Elizabeth Taylor of the podcasting world. That's what people call you.
Not
because
really.
Because of your gorgeous jewels around your neck and your 8 marriages?
No, I mean, maybe the jewels, but no, I'm not even the Conan O'Brien of podcasting.
Who?
you've done a biography of me and you don't even know who Conan O'Brien is?
I'll write his biography right now. Tell me anything about it. I can write it.
Tall.
Created podcasting.
Tall, created podcasting.
Moved from the Harvard Lampoon to the Saturday Night Live to the Simpsons to his own talk show, which was maligned because nobody knew who he was. And yet he managed
to make... Hold on, you're going too fast.
Oh.
Born on the full moon in Massachusetts, Conan O'Brien.
Massachusetts
might have that part right. Yeah.
Dang it.
Oh, wait, you're trying to get it all?
No. He did it his way. Fine. You want to know how it ends? He did it his way.
He actually did do it his way.
Do it his way.
Yeah. Much to NBC's chagrin, in a way.
Yes. Yes. In multiple ways.
Yeah. What about Jay Leno? You know who that is?
Who?
The before the who is really interesting. Like, you're trying to decide if you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm just moving real slow at my age. You know, I'm in my early to late 80s.
Yeah, how did you get into this line of work?
Well, for 15 minutes, I was a professor at Pepperdine University.
Really?
The scoundrels.
Yes, and then I got fired, as one does.
Of course.
And then I thought, you know what? I have a whole life ahead of me. I'm going to just start writing books. And I was like, fiction seems hard. Doing research seems hard.
So you were that sweet spot in between.
Yeah, sweet spot.
Where you do no research about the people you're writing about.
And Scott, I got to tell you, you're the most interesting character I've ever written about.
Really?
And I've written about Mike Dukakis. Yep.
What'd you write about him? When he was in that tank?
Yeah. And I wish I knew a lot about Mike Dukakis or anything, really. He's a Democrat, and he ran.
Did you write a chapter about how he was the first person I ever voted for
election? Sure. Oh, my goodness. Scribble. Right.
That was in the Obama election. You wrote in Dukakis?
Yeah. In 2008, Scott Aukerman wrote in Mike Dukakis.
I just even wrote Mike.
They'll know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they knew. They knew.
They knew.
Why do they let you write anyone into that? You know what I mean? It's like you're never going to get the person that you want in there. So why? But
it's for spoiled brats is who that's for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I believe the founding fathers knew that a well-served country would be full of people with senses of humor who could write in the funniest name of the time.
I know that because I've written most of the founding fathers' biographies.
Most? Why not all?
Some of them are boring. Some of them are dead.
I think all of them are dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Which ones?
All of them. I think you got to include that.
Oh, no.
Can we name the founding fathers? I don't know who's considered. Is Franklin a founding father? Ben Franklin?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, he definitely found that key on that kite.
That's right.
Born on the full moon in New Hampshire. Ben Franklin was born. He moved to New York City with a resume in one hand and tap shoes in the other.
Sensing a lot of recurring motifs in your work.
Oh, that's you. That's not me. I'm not a fan of my own work.
Yeah. What about John Hancock? There's a guy we don't know anything about. Guy who's famous just for writing big.
Mm-hmm. I sign his name when I sign my checks.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. No one's ever noticed.
Checks to people or the ones you're cashing?
Who?
That is the thing. Like, why? Okay, so you sign the back of a check that's given to you. Does anyone check that shit out or no?
No, there's just one sad guy at the bank who has to check.
Yes, yeah, that's my job. I do that. And I'm here to talk about my crazy job at the bank, which is to check the signatures and to check them for accuracy.
Well, I'm flattered. I have to say that you wrote a book about me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I came up onto your radar, you know.
Well, you came to me in a dream, and then I Googled you, and you were real! And I was so excited!
That's interesting. I wonder if that's like a subconscious thing where you saw some of my work.
Yeah, maybe.
And wondered who I was, and then went to sleep.
Exactly. Something, I saw you, I walked past you on the street, and it turns out you are real. And you know, I think that this book is just going to be flying off the shelf.
So yeah. This was not intentional.
The shelf, because that holds 400 books. That's a strong shelf, first of all. Or a long one.
It's both. I have one shelf. I think it's going to go flying off the shelf, mostly because my house gets hit by very specific earthquakes pretty often.
Oh,
but
really?
Also, I think
very
people
specific
are,
ones?
Yeah, just like really ones that are just my house.
Really? So yes. You're on several fault lines wherever they intersect?
Mm-hmm. But I think people are really going to love it. The part about you almost going to jail for murder, a murder that you didn't commit, that part, people
sounds
love that.
Sounds exciting, yeah.
All your marriages. Mm. It's going to, people are going to love it.
How's it end?
October 3rd.
Yeah, are you sure you want to know? Remember, I can predict death.
Yeah. With how much accuracy?
Between 0 and 100%.
Okay. This is important. Yeah, hit me. How am I going to die?
You die at 190 begging to die.
Begging?
Yes, because it's way too long to be alive.
Yeah. I hear anything after 70, it's all just like kind of pointless.
Yeah, I'm living that.
So just begging. Who am I begging, if you don't mind me
Everyone,
asking?
Anyone. Really? The nurses surrounding you, your surviving family members.
Right. Is assisted suicide legal by then? Or
no. Man. But you know what your last words are?
What's that?
I did it.
Oh, of course.
Beautiful story.
Beautiful.
Now, what do you do with this sort of fate? Is it an Oedipal story where fate is always determined whether you know it or not? Or can you change your fate, Scott Aukerman?
Oedipal story? You know it?
A delicious Oedipal story.
Because we've been taking Oedipals this entire time. It's hard to do a show like this without being high.
Yes, most podcasts are done.
That's the only way we can come up with the jokes.
I wish you had told me. I would have put an LSD in my tea. Now I feel like an idiot.
They have some doses. I microdosed a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you want some? Here.
Yep, gulpy, gulp, 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 gulp.
You take such silent gulps. It's good for you to let us know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right. So how do you feel now?
Tired.
We shouldn't have put LSD in the sleepy
time. It
might
not have an effect on her.
Yes, yeah. Chamomile. I'm tired.
You look like that little bear. You put the little hat on. You've got your pajamas on.
Which bear is this?
On the sleepy time tea box by Celestial Tea.
I love that bear.
It is on the Mount Rushmore of bear mascots.
Paddington?
Yes.
He's on the bear Mount Rushmore.
Yes. Smokey?
Smokey.
Old Smokey, not the new Smokey,
The bear that killed the movie in that Werner, or killed the owner in the Werner Herzog.
Oh, yes, in Grizzly Man.
Grizzly Man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The bear that...
I wrote his biography.
Oh.
He did it his way.
Yeah,
the bear that turned out. Grizzly Man.
You heard me.
The bear from The Edge with Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
That creek.
Written by directed by David Mamet.
Written by him, definitely.
The bear from the children's book Corduroy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a jeers and a dishonorable mention to the Charmin bear who cannot wipe his own ass to save his life.
Who does update in this collection of bears?
Who does update?
Yeah. We're doing Dreamcast of SNL bear styles?
I would say yes. I mean, do you want more of an early style bear, like a rye bear?
I think the Coca-Cola bear, polar bear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's probably got a nice sort of Chevy Chase vibe to him.
I like how you said Chevy.
Chevy. I do a soft shush.
I was going to say Jimmy Growlin.
Who?
Do bears growl?
Like Fallon?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Do bears growl?
Yes.
You know they growl. You're a
professor. Why didn't that get a huge laugh? Because it wasn't the quality of the joke. It was a misunderstanding of the noises bears make.
I thought you were trying to talk about a real person. I said, I don't
Maybe
know who
Jimmy
that man
Crawlin
is.
Because it's more Fallon.
No, it's not.
Both of us failed at that.
We forgot about Pooh Bear.
Oh.
Oh, Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh, the bottomless wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amy Polar Bear.
That's better.
That worked actually pretty well.
Now, how about if I had said that right away, Scott Aukerman?
This is the story of your whole appearance.
The way I look, you mean?
Yes, and your real logo. Well, look, guys, we're running out of time, unfortunately. I feel bad. I thank you for writing this book about me.
Will you sign it?
Of course I'll sign it. To you or...
Yeah, whatever you want to write. Your signature is enough.
Do you mind if I just cross stuff out and correct it?
Sure, whatever you mean.
Yeah, okay.
Well, an official annotated unauthorized.
Yeah, this didn't happen. None of this.
I got your signature. Your life is mine now. I can do whatever I want with your life.
Wait a minute. This was a contract?
Yeah, to write your unauthorized biography.
Oh, okay. So this is just a contract. It's not the actual unauthorized biography.
Well...
So now you're going to write the real one?
Oh, no. I'll have to start from scratch.
Oh, dear.
That's going to be a lot of work to figure out what kind of moon he was born under.
Yeah, I know. No, I have no idea.
Well, we're running out of time. We just have time for one final feature on the show. That is a little something called plugs. I'm going to do a plug song, so I'll do a plug song. Maybe one like this one now. Ooh, great. That was teeny tiny... Pluggy Wuggy, the shortest plugs theme that we've had in a long time. Thank you so much. That was Kevbot 4000 did that one. Thank you so much to Kevbot 4000. Yes.
Yes.
You grab the mic and you're putting it right in front of your open mouth like, I have something to say. I'm trying to be polite to you. And then I call on you and you have nothing.
I'm not aware of my own body, I suppose. Sometimes I want to have something to say, and so I grab the mic, but nothing okay. is there.
All right. Lloyd Garterbelt is here. Kyle, what do you want to plug here? Obviously,
we've plugged enough, I think. Freevee. Sure. I'd like to plug Freevee.
The concept of Freevee.
The concept of Freevee.
Whatever it may be.
And Avenue 5 and High School both premiering over the next couple of weeks on your neighborhood streaming service.
And those checks are just coming in this gosh. Week.
Yeah. Can you hold those for me? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Signed by John Hancock. Actually.
Yeah. Right on the back. All right. Matilda Graveyman, what do you want to plug? Anything?
Real plugs?
Sure. I mean, that's, we only do real plugs in the plugs basket. Basket. Well, my bag. Have I forgotten how to do this show?
My Mike Dukakis biography, obviously.
Oh, good. Yeah, the real
then
plug. Yeah.
Two podcasts on HeadGum.
Oh.
Called Sitcom D&D, which is my new podcast.
I've and heard then, about this. I hear it's good. Yeah.
I'm loving it. It's with my Chicago best friends. And then Hey Riddle Riddle, which I've been doing for like 4 years.
All right.
On the HeadGum Podcast.
Wonderful. Comedy Podcast. And Lloyd Garterbelt.
Catch me on next week's episode of Comedy Bang Bang. Well, I know my thing. And why not, you could catch the group Big Grande on tour at the end of October and beginning of November. Go to biggrande.com if you live in Chicago, Toronto, New York, New York, Rhode Island, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and more.
Back to the vampire, I see.
Oh,
the count. Okay, so we talked about this before, but Comedy Bang Bang book is coming out in April, and you can pre-order it now. All fans of the show are going to want one of these. It's really, I think you're going to love it. It's really pretty incredible. Head over to cbbworld.com/book for all the links, including for autographed editions. I'm signing... as they say, a shitload. Go to cbbworld.com/book for more info on that. We have so much over there. The full archives of this show, as well as ad-free episodes, as well as other things like Scott Hasn't Seen, the movie podcast. We're in the middle of our October Shockingtober Frightening Fest, where we're watching scary movies. We just watched Old... with Patton Oswalt on Friday, and this week we're watching Carrie. So truly a October Shockingtober Frightening Fest.
Again, an inappropriate material showing to my kid. I just showed my kid Carrie.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they think?
He loved it.
Yeah. He loved it. What did he love about it? He related to the bullies?
Yes. I think it's just commentary on, you know, young. I shouldn't get into that.
No. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I know it's episode's coming out this Friday. Yeah. Don't spoil it for me if you would. We also have the Andy Daly podcast project. We have CBB Presents. So much stuff. This Book Changed My Life. Lily Sullivan Show. So much going on over there. And the entire tour archive of the tour that we just did. So head over to CBBworld.com and sign up, and if you sign up for a full year, you get 2 months free. All right, let's close up the old plug bag.
There is no hentai.
He's not going to see it.
Oh, okay, forget it.
Hentai. I love the hentai in Top Gun Maverick.
What right. a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that was Hentai Plug Mix by Glassic, I believe. Thank you so much for that wonderful plugs, closing up the plug bag theme. And guys, I want to thank you so much. Kyle, always a pleasure to have you
thank
on the
you
show.
So much.
Continued success to you.
You too.
I love seeing you pop up in shows I don't expect you in. And I'm like, hey, he's here for an ep. I love it.
Kyle's shown up. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure.
A pleasure.
Matilda Graveyman.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Sleepy time tea with LSD in it is something else, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, who visited you in this dream to write a biography?
You. You're real.
Oh, dear. And Lloyd Garterbelt.
It's been real. It's been fun.
You're either never coming back or you're here next week. I haven't decided at this point. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace. Yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh gosh, the nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again this spring. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye.